Hail yourselves, everyone.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
I finally got to watch the documentary that came out this year with George Knapp and Jeremy Corbell called Hunt for the Skinwalker about Skinwalker Ranch. Have you read anything into Skinwalker Ranch?
No, I haven't heard that. I mean, I know it's creepy stuff. That's what
it is. Creepy stuff. I mean, obviously, I've read into it, you know, and I read Hunt for the Skinwalker when it first came out. But now watching the doc, it's nice to see what a Skinwalker Ranch actually looks like. And it's pretty fucking creepy. And I didn't really know that Robert Bigelow, the UFO bajillionaire, like the guy basically who was an aerospace millionaire who dumped a bunch of money into UFO research, who's essentially our patron saint, the patron saint of rich nerds.
Is he a billionaire? So he could pay. We could do Six Flags on us with him.
We gotta get to him.
We gotta get
to him. And I think a good way to do it, Kissel, honestly, is that if you dress up as a sexy woman and arrive on the doorstep of Robert Bigelow and be how you doing, big boy? I'm looking for someone to take me to Six Flags.
Yeah,
and he'll
sure.
be like, you're the tallest sack of woman I've ever seen in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I want to see just how long your pussy grows.
Well, you'll be very impressed. All right, this is Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben Kissel. We got Henry Zebrowski over there.
Yeah.
In much nicer weather in Los Angeles, but we're not talking about the weather today. We have a lot of other things to get to, including
I don't want to talk about the weather, but
no.
I will say it was really cold yesterday. I did have to put on a hoodie.
Oh.
I did have to go. I mean, because Wendy has to walk in her jacket. Because
I know.
She legitimately will not exit the house if it's not 65 degrees or hotter.
Isn't that your struggle is real.
It is.
All right. We got a bunch of news to get to today.
We could, man, or we could just sit around and talk about the changes of our bodies or what's happening as we get older. We could just do that. We could talk about, let's call it old man stoop hour.
It's getting harder to lose weight is what I'm finding.
I mean, I feel specifically like it's your lifestyle.
Yeah, if you don't work out or anything.
You're not even attempting to lose weight.
No, you used to be able to just lose weight. It would just go off your body, and now it just stays on your body, and I don't know what the heck is going on.
You were addicted to uppers and drinking vodka and 7-Up.
No.
That's all you drank.
Come on. I'm a soda guy. All right.
You're a soda guy as a mixer.
Yeah. I love the sodas. Anyway.
You got to start drinking seltzer.
I know what I'm
supposed
to be doing.
Because you get the bubbles. You get the cut. You don't listen to me.
No, I
sit and I talk and I advise and I advise and I advise.
Uh-huh.
And you never respond. You never change.
Yeah, your only advice is more bubbles. Put more bubbles in it. More bubbles.
I'm just saying you can sort of convince yourself that water is beer if there's bubbles in it.
Well, that's very true. Okay, let's start off with this story. We're going all the way to Russia. So this story is crazy, man. There is something about Russian serial killers. We'll have to cover this dude or another one in the future.
Well,
they are special.
Especially as more information comes out about this more recent guy. We have a Russian serial killer policeman. He's found guilty of 56 more murders.
More.
Which take his count up to, I believe it is 78
Yes,
murders.
In 2015, he was convicted of killing 22 women. He has now confessed to 56. As Henry said, he was a Siberian cop. He raped and killed women after offering them late night rides. He was found guilty of dozens more murders this week. So
His name is Mikhail Popkov. He's also known as the Werewolf. And the Ungursk Maniac Russian media.
Now, he got a pretty cool, I got to say, as far as monikers go, as far as nicknames go for serial killers, the Werewolf, that's not the worst nickname I've ever heard.
I'll put it this way. It seems to be the more brutal your crimes are, the cooler your nickname, which is unfortunate for society.
Right.
Because then you're shooting for the nickname.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You want to be called the Grim Reaper. You want to have a good one. It can't just be like I don't know, like the doughboy of Wilmington, and then all your job is that you just kill people with dough, like you surround their heads with dough at night, and it turns out it's Paul Hollywood,
oh.
You know, you know, flying into the United States from the UK.
That would
but
be
no,
the doughboy.
Yeah, you have, you have to do terrible shit to be called the wolf man. You have to do terrible shit to be called the werewolf.
Absolutely.
And, so his job was, he was a cop and used to drive around with his cop car, also because he became, I believe he stopped... He retired in, I want to say, 1998.
Whatever it is, if a cop is off duty, they're just a citizen. So just don't even bother. You don't get in their car. Don't do anything. Just treat a cop like you would anybody else and say, I'm fine, officer. I'll walk.
But it's very difficult because he had the car. You could see why. You could see why people trusted them. And a part of what he would do is he would target women alone at night, specifically either sex workers or anyone who looked like they were drunk, because in his terms, his job was to cleanse people who lived a debauched lifestyle.
Okay, so now what is this called? What is that trope called with serial killers who think they're doing it for the greater good?
He's a missionary killer.
A missionary killer.
Which, unfortunately, is the most boring sex style, but it's one of the more interesting serial killer types.
Yeah, and depending on who you're with, it can also be a very romantic position.
I just
sexually.
Like to see what's happening.
Absolutely. He was also known as the Angarsk Maniac because he was an off-duty officer around his city of Angarsk. It's near Irkutsk.
Irkutsk.
It's about 2,600 miles east of Moscow. So he got the werewolf and the Angarsk maniac. So how did he do it? What
Irkutsk
weapons?
Was actually named after the man who founded the town, is that they actually rolled him into a wheelbarrow, and Irkutsk is the sound you make when you're drunk and trying to get yourself out of a wheelbarrow.
Huh, I think I've heard
but
that
also,
before.
It's an incredibly important risk placement as well.
Okay.
In terms of if you're trying to block your way in and out of Russia, because that's where Irkutsk in, I believe in Risk, is the good, it has the land bridge over to Alaska if you want to attack North America, which is a really good thing to have in Risk. That's where you kind of want to build up your forces. It's like building up your forces in Southeast Asia. If you're holding sort of like an Australia rein, you build your forces in Australia, then you move your infantry up through Asia.
You know what, Henry? I'd love to play a game of Risk with you. Oh, yeah, I love the game.
You being fucking sarcastic?
No.
You fucking piece
of
shit.
No, I like Risk. Risk is good. I used to play it on my PC when I was growing up.
Yeah, but how big are you to those pieces? You know what I mean? Can you even find them? They just get stuck in your dimples?
Oh, right. The question is, how did he do it? How did this dude, how did Popkov, this maniac, what did he use to kill these people? Well, not pleasant weaponry, to say the least.
Obviously not.
Well, I mean, honestly, like when you're like, when you think about Berkowitz, you're like a gun. Okay, I can think about this. This dude used a hammer and an axe, and then he would dump the bodies in the woods at the side of the road. And he also dumped bodies in the cemetery. But the thing is, you still got to take the body out of the cemetery, and then you got to bring him back to the cemetery. He's not making anyone's lives easier.
You're making undertakers happy when you just drop fresh corpses into the cemetery because they love to work. It technically is a job grader, but he would lull them into the car. He would lull them to the conversation, then he'd either hit them with a hammer or immediately start stabbing them. And then what he did know is that eventually, when they were originally searching for Popkov, what they found was that it was somebody who was very good at cleaning off a body. So they suspected for a while that it was a police officer, somebody who knew how people investigate crimes. So what he did was essentially do it in a way really random and drop it off, drop them off into far from where they were murdered, which was inside of the car, and then you're also controlling the crime scene, right? Because your car is the crime scene. So as long as they don't get to the car, which eventually they did, because they found him doing random DNA tests.
Yes, they found him while they were doing random DNA tests.
Because they found they basically went through everybody that drove the make of car that matched tracks that were found at a crime scene.
Okay, so now he is 54 years old. He appeared in court again, as we said earlier, this past week, and he is going to go to a Supermax prison. The Supermax prison is nicknamed the Black Dolphin, which I don't know why it's called the Black Dolphin, but it sounds horrifying. And
have you looked into the Black Dolphin at all?
No, but he is also accused of, again, as we mentioned earlier, raping at least 11 women. And we know what dolphins do. So perhaps it's perhaps it's something to do with the horrors that occur behind prison walls.
Have you not seen this? It was actually, I believe it was in... it was in lockdown at some point. It is one of the most brutal prisons in the world. It's called Black Dolphin because it was it had a prisoner-constructed sculpture of a black dolphin in front of it, which okay. I guess is nice to give them something to do. But prison houses, according to Wikipedia, the prison houses approximately 700 of the most serious criminals in Russia. Now, what they do, man, this is fucking rough. Inmates are kept isolated and housed in cells that have a set of three steel doors. For 90 minutes a day, they are transported to a large cage for exercise. During this time, cells are searched for contraband. Prisoners at Black Dolphin are then kept under 24-hour supervision. They are not permitted to rest or sit on their bunks from the time they are awoken until it is time to sleep again, a span of 16 hours. Every 15 minutes, a guard makes rounds to ensure inmates are complying with the rules. The prisoners are fed soup four times a day, so that's good for you. You love soup.
I love a good soup, especially in a cold Russian winter, sure.
I feel like it's not good soup. It's not no. It's not going to be no hale and hearty.
I mean, honestly, at this point, it does sound better than the American Supermax. And in American Supermax, you don't get soup. You get that loaf. You get the prison loaf, which is all the food combined into one disgusting thing.
Yeah, but that's how it comes out. That's how it comes out. In order to speak with any guard, you have to refer to them in the words, yes, sir. But in Russian, it directly translates to, it is so, citizen chief, which is intense. That's very intense. I'm going to start saying that to people. But the big thing was that they use blindfolds when they bring the prisoners in, so they can't even map out the prison. And then if they're transferring them between cells, they blindfold them. And then they cart them back and forth. In a stress position,
right,
where they handcuff the backs, they handcuff their hands behind their backs, and then lift up the hands above their hips, so they're forced to bend forward. So it's very difficult for them to escape.
It is not a comfortable situation, to say the least. Prosecutors they described Popkov as having, quote, a pathological attraction to killing people. That's not good.
If only it was a pathological attraction to baked goods.
I know he would
and
be great.
He would crush. He would crush cooking. Channel. They need a Russian.
He could be the Martha Stewart of Russia, but instead he's just another Russian serial killer. The prosecutors also say he is, quote, a homicidal. He has homicidal mania with sadistic elements, but he was ruled sane enough to stand trial. I mean, I would assume that he is sane enough. He was a working cop for at least 6 years while these murders were happening.
But they also do a thing in Russia, man, the fucking court system, that's very entertaining because they keep them in a big cage.
Oh, yeah.
And so they just go like, got it. Like, I would love to do it, just being there for weed charges and it's just me going like, whoa, man, like running around the cages and shit. It'd be kind of fun. Like, am I a fucking zebra, dude?
I think they would just, they might just shoot you on the spot. They're allowed to.
You think I'm going to make it in Black Dolphin? Honestly.
I have no idea.
I have to throw up pants because I don't find them comfortable.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm switching to all athleisure.
Oh, you're going to do that.
Because in LA, it's technically high class. I can have elastic on in LA because they consider it chill.
I know what the wealthy people have been trying to pass off as high class now for some time. They just want to wear sweatpants like every person in the Midwest, but they want
to feel
like they're superior.
Kissel, give in.
No, I love it. I like the Midwest look. Yeah. I mean, honestly.
You're not wearing them.
No, all of my pants are stretch pants. They all stretch.
Those Adidas gear are really nice. The Adidas pants, those track pants are really nice.
All right. Well, investigators say they uncovered the remains of some victims of the bodies, of course, that Popkov killed, and as well as finding murder weapons, including axes, screwdrivers, and knives. So the guy, I mean, it's pretty disgusting.
That's how they convicted him of the 56 more crimes. Is that
right.
What they realized they went through, and they were finding corroborating evidence to the things he was saying. He was directing them to bodies, so he went and they found bodies, they found weapons. There was one that he didn't find. He also killed one police officer randomly. It was the last person that he killed.
Okay.
He killed a drunk police officer that I guess just out of pure jealousy or gamesmanship.
Well,
I'm not really sure.
I gotta say, if you're in Russia and if one of your like pet peeves is drunkenness, That's not the place to be.
Holy shit.
It's just under Ireland. I mean,
yeah.
You do not want to be in Russia if you hate alcoholics. You want
to
go
like
to Utah.
Yeah, it's being in America and hating people with big dreams.
That's right. So, speaking of big dreams, I guess, again, because apparently he had them. He wanted to be the most notorious serial killer in Russian history, and it looks like he has pulled that off. So the number of killings for which he has been convicted exceeds the total of several notorious murderers in Russia and the ex-Soviet Union. Those murderers include Alexander Pishushkin, a.k.a. the chessboard killer,
which is a great story.
Cool. Maybe we could cover that one. He killed 48 mostly older women, and he would meet them in a park in Moscow, which is probably the saddest place in the world. He aimed to kill one person for each of the 64 squares on a chessboard, which is why he's the chessboard killer.
Yeah, man, it's simple. I mean, honestly, you're turning into Mysterio. That's a great supervillain.
So crazy. And then, of course, Andre Ciccatello, who we covered. You can go and listen to our old episodes on Ciccatello. He was convicted of killing 52. So this dude, we had another, I guess, I don't want to say best. What's another word? Travis isn't speaking too much today because he's super sick. But
I'm in sicko mode. But
yeah. Oh, God.
Heavy hitter.
Yes, I guess he is a new heavy hitter.
Look
at this. You know what I was saying? Because a lot of people were saying that we weren't going to get new serial killers in this digital age because it was difficult to catch them because we're so ever-present in social media.
Right, right.
But we got Samuel Little. They may possibly top the charts of American serial killers in terms of numbers. And yes, we got a new Russian guy. We may be heading into a new, like, I don't want to say golden era because it's very frightening. But it seems like we're in a place where we're getting a lot of new serial killers coming out of the woodwork. And that's allowing Last Podcast to continue deep into the 2020s.
In a sense, it is the golden era of finding out how many people these folks have killed. And, you know, they're already arrested. So it's not as bad as... I don't think that you can be a new – I don't think you could pull off 79 murders today. I still don't think you could do it.
He just did.
No, he didn't just do it. He did it in
1992 to 2012.
Yeah, but in Russia 2012. It's not American 2012. They got like – I mean, I don't want to malign and disparage the Russian people, but their technology isn't exactly – I've seen a lot of dash cam footage.
But the dash cam footage is actually pretty clear.
It's pretty good, but that's kind of where they're at. They're at dash cam footage.
Yeah, if you've seen the movie, it's called The Road Movie. It's a Russian dash cam movie, and it's all about just Russians Grand Theft Auto style killing people on the streets.
That's awesome.
Like, that's how you can kill 76 people in Russia.
That's awesome.
Well, this dude, so Popkov.
I mean, that's bad.
No,
it's very bad. Popkov.
It's bad. I mean, bad.
Is apparently he's boasting to cellmates, and he's bragging that he has killed more people than Ciccatello. So this guy, I guess he wanted to come clean about the murders. Obviously, the DNA evidence helped, but he's proud of himself, I suppose. We'll see.
It is very interesting because we have another social media, very cognizant murder that happened in Russia, which with the, I cannot even pronounce it if I wanted to, the Dnestrovsk Maniacs.
Nailed
which
it.
I believe was also known as... Was it Three Kids, One Hammer? I'm looking this up. It was Three Kids, One Hammer. It was directly after the, named after a sort of a horrible parody of Two Girls, One Cup.
Where
they were going to live film themselves murdering people with a hammer.
Mm.
And then they were going to try to sell the videos on the black market.
Jeez. Well, how'd they do?
Great.
Great. Oh, my God.
They did great. No, they didn't do great. They were fucking turned in an awful part.
Well, let's stay with the world.
I tell
technology.
You what though, I keep trying to help you by giving you little tidbits. I told you things you can eat. I told you things you can wear, and I'm hoping I can pull you out of this. Come into the athleisure lifestyle. It's how basketball players dress.
I know, but I'm not a basketball player. They also work out all the time and they sweat.
No, Shaq was fat.
Well, Shaq got fat. I love fat Shaq. I love fat Charles Barkley too. My favorite. All right. Well, let's stay in the world of the internet, but let's come back to America, specifically Colorado. Legalized it, and they They are making a lot of money. Be careful in Colorado, though, folks. I had a, I had one of those drinks. It was like an orange drink. Each ounce was 100 milligrams.
You got to read the label.
Yeah,
this is important.
But I don't. Why would they even put? Why would they put 1,200 milligrams of weed in something you're supposed to drink? 12 ounces is not a lot.
Because it's fun. It's just discipline.
God.
But this is back. This is before. You're talking about that is more ancient weed technology. Now it is way more spaced out. In L.A., it's so fucking pussy. They really make it so difficult to get the stuff that'll blind you in L.A. Honestly, you have to really mash a bunch of stuff together to fucking ruin your life.
Well,
like you
please,
used to be able to.
Please don't. You as a blind man will just be, it'll be.
Where am I? Who will feed me? Are you a spy?
So you refuse to give up your driver's license, just still driving all around Los Angeles, just screaming. So anyway.
I just drive until they honk.
So in Brighton, Colorado, a Colorado man who told police he shot a teenager. This is the story that we're getting to here in Colorado. A Colorado man who told police he shot a teenager in the head. And this is where the story becomes a little strange. After she hired him to kill her via a Craigslist ad, he pleaded guilty to second degree murder. And this was last week, Monday, as part of a plea agreement with the prosecutors. The dude's name is Joseph Lopez, who had been charged with a first-degree murder. Now, again, the plea deal says a second-degree murder to avoid a possible life sentence of killing 19-year-old Natalie Ballinger. So this story is pretty crazy.
He does look like a man who crossed the lines from Reddit over to Craigslist that would answer the ad to kill a woman. Unfortunately, he has got the wispiest rat-like Van Dyke I have ever seen in my life. It is unfortunate. I am just looking at the face of Reddit atheism.
Yeah.
As I'm sitting here, it's just a picture of it. It's his face.
So he shot Natalie Ballinger, I guess in the head, and then the body was found in a wooded area just north of Denver in late December. One day after she was reported missing. This is according to Adams County District Judge Roberto Ramirez, batting first.
Roberto Ramirez!
He sentenced Lopez. Lopez is a younger dude at 23 years old, and he's going to serve a maximum of 48 years in prison. So that's a maximum of 48 years. So he'll probably end up getting out in around 20 to 25, I would assume.
Well, he was having a lot of fun browsing the women seeking men section of Craigslist, which may as well just be called booby trap world. I mean, honestly, because there was no reason for a woman to go to Craigslist to seek a man.
No,
you just have to leave your house.
You have a better chance of finding a woman on Ashley Madison. By the way, that site is full of all men than finding a woman on Craigslist.
You know what's actually a pretty good get? Honestly, if you were, it would actually work as sugardaddies.com. That would work.
Sure.
You just have to have cash money.
Well, I can't. Yeah, I mean, no sugar daddy wants to hire me. I can't.
No, I'm not saying you.
Can I solicit a sugar daddy? Is that what you're saying?
No, we're talking about it. You're talking about we're looking for sponsors.
Oh, I see.
That's called our ad campaigns. That's our sugar daddies.
This is according to court records. Lopez told police that he responded to a Craigslist ad titled, quote, "I want to put a hit on myself." It's very bizarre to me. It does have sort of a dumber shade of Dr. Kevorkian. There's a little something Kevorkian here. I guess herself?
According to him, but Dr. Kevorkian, what's the key to Dr. Kevorkian? Doctor. He got a doctor. He went to school for a bunch of years.
He's going against the Hippocratic Oath is what I heard.
But I heard also them people were begging for it, and sometimes you got to give them what they want. Except for Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson didn't know what he wanted.
Well, who knows what Michael Jackson wanted? So
he just wanted to dance. All he wanted to do was make his father smile.
Yes, and that did not. I don't think that ever happened. And by the way, the only thing that Marcus and Henry refuse to believe in this world, Joe Jackson, he made Michael Jackson a eunuch. What do you call that?
You're just so good. It's so bizarre, your obsession with this.
He castrated. Joe Jackson castrated Michael Jackson. That's what happened. After
absolutely bizarre.
Well, it happened because that's what the family says happened, and you're not going to.
I want to see the autopsy reports. I want to see a picture of his and no dick.
Well, he might. I don't think he went full Heaven's Gate. I think he had something going on, but his father castrated him so he could keep that high-pitched voice.
Hey there, people. Henry Zebrowski here for Trollville, the web series created by my beautiful wife, Natalie Jean, Sina Ghaznavi, and myself. It is the story of Tobey Maguire, a sweet young troll that is forced to reckon with the consequences of his internet actions. It is for rent on Vimeo/on-demand/Trollville. It is a work of love, a work of sweat and hate. We have put our bullshit into it. We put our own money. It is completely independent production, like all of the things here at Last Podcast Network, and I hope you could support it. Hail Satan.
Prosecutor said Lopez should have called 911 or found help for Bollinger after he saw the ad. Bollinger and Lopez texted each other dozens of times before he picked her up, and then they drove around for an extended period before he killed her. He didn't respond as a human being. That was according to Chief Deputy District Attorney Allie Baber, who also says he responded as a predator when it comes to the Craigslist ad. So I guess
I believe so, because he clicked on it thinking about, I'm going to say one look at this guy is that, to be completely frank, I think his first idea is, this girl's so sad, maybe she'll sleep with me.
Right.
I mean, like, there's like almost like a thing where it's like, I'll get her now. While she wants to die, I could get one in there. real quick.
I mean, obviously
she is debased. I feel like that's what his thinking was.
Maybe something was going wrong. Yeah, take a look at the autopsy of this dude. I don't think he's going to do well in prison. He kind of looks like a Jack Black character from Nacho Libre. I think he's probably going to get pummeled on a regular basis in many different ways, which of course is never good, but Bollinger's family is extremely pissed off about the plea deal. They say it's a spit in my family's face. That's according to Ted Bollinger. He says there's no justice in this, and he argued that the court didn't make his family aware of the pending plea deal as soon as it should have. So people aren't happy that he's going to be getting out within his lifetime, because again, he's only 23, serving a maximum of 48.
I know, but they fucking, I mean, it's all this horseshit. I mean, he's a waste of space. I don't think he's going to do well in jail. And I think when he gets out of it, I don't think it even matter. His life is over as it is. He said that she wanted to get over it as quick as possible, and she wouldn't accept being talked down about it.
I would.
Is what she said.
Interesting. I would like to hear if this did go to trial. I think he does have a defense, right? She solicited, obviously I disagree with it, but that would be the defense, and I think it would have been really interesting to hear a lawyer go in there and talk about it.
I can't. That would be me as the prosecutor going like, shut up. I feel that you are, I mean, I don't know. I feel like you have a lot of options here. Like, don't do it.
No,
like a big
course.
Option is like, don't
I'm
do it.
I'm just saying, sometimes defense attorneys hit a lucky streak. You know, and they're able to convince a jury that, well, this was nothing but more than assisted suicide. And perhaps there's a juror who doesn't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it would have been interesting to see the trial. That's all.
I mean, sure. I mean, I've always liked the dirty details. That's why we do our fucking show.
Oh,
but a part of it is that when you see him do it, it's just that thing you look at it. It's like you could just don't ask somebody to kill him. And if you're going to ask somebody to kill you, I'd say, like, shoot for the top. Try to get it to be Keanu Reeves dressed as John Wick.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That'd be pretty sweet. But you know how you actually just get him to kill you naturally is you just show up and you kill his dog.
Oh, my God. Don't even say it.
I don't want to. I don't want it to be like this.
All right. Well, let's move on. What story do you want to do next, Henry?
There's a fun-ass story that I've been sent many, many times, but I like to go into it because it's kind of funny.
Okay.
With the Menendez brothers appearing in the background of former Knicks point guard Mark Jackson's hoops guard.
Yes.
And if you see this picture, it is absolutely fantastic. And they did the act. They are there. It works for the timeline because the Menendez family murder happened on August 20th, 1989. The brothers were apprehended in March of 1990, right? So there's a gap there, and it seems that the picture must have been taken at MSG in 1989 to 1990 because it was supposed to come out for 1990 to 1991.
Oh my God.
And it checks out because they spend a lot of their parents' money, and a part of what they spent it on was courtside seats for the Knicks.
That is, it's such a funny, first of all, great era for the Knicks. They were really coming up here.
I was really excited good. For you to put your input in on this.
Well, it's so
I know
upset.
How happy you would be that the Knicks get a bump.
The Menendez brothers, like, they got courtside seats. Really? They got courtside seats? You know how expensive those are?
It's, yeah, man. They inherited $14.5 million.
They got $14.5 million for killing their parents through inheritance?
Yes.
So,
yes.
Of course, the first thing you do, you don't do this anymore. No one rich is like, I'm going to sit courtside watching the Knicks, because they'll probably just end up having to play in the game to try to get a point scored for that damn team. They're so freaking bad. Don't even give me. I'm a fan. I'm a fan. I'm just a little bit heartbroken.
You don't
James
sound
Dolan.
Like a fan.
James Dolan is the worst. He's the worst owner in sports, and quite frankly, I wish his children were like the. No, I'm
what?
Not going to say it.
You are calling for his death?
No, I'm not going to say
the
it.
The secret, the most brutal member of last podcast from the last wishing for the death of a basketball coach. I agree with you.
But the Menendez brothers, if you take a look at the card, they don't even look interested. I wonder if they're thinking about the fact that they murdered both of their parents. Like, how do you think that had to be there, right? At any time, they had to, like, look at each other and be like, we killed our parents. Be like, and Mark Jackson just had another great assist, huh? Like, like, how do
oh,
you?
Oh, woo, woo. No, I think that they might have thought about it. Yeah, sure. I feel like they were pretty happy with the fact that they got courtside tickets.
I guess.
They actually, for me, looking at it, is that they look like they're having a good time.
I guess by Menendez brothers' standards, they don't seem to be smiling or anything.
Well, yeah, I mean, they got bad faces, but they seem to be kind of there. And he's got his Knicks hat on. He's looking clueless. They seem to be enjoying it. I don't know. They just wanted to be on the scene. They got those fancy new cars. You know what's the really silver lining of the story? Is that the Hoops Mark Jackson card is it's actually shifted from, it used to be 15 to 20 cents on eBay.
Yeah.
Now you can get it for up to
$15. Wow. $15. I love everyone growing up. Do you remember the trading card phase or trend where everyone's like, you never know, this is going to be worth thousands one day or even millions? Same thing with comic books. And they're just not. Didn't your dad buy like all the Superman versus when Superman
died?
He bought three
of them. He bought three of them and he's like, this is so you can read one. One I got, so I make sure it's safe. And one you get, so you make sure it's safe so nothing happens to it because it's going to pay for your college. And it was that, and it was the same thing. Yeah, I had so many baseball. I remember how happy I was with my Phil Simms rookie card that I had.
Oh, sure.
And I was just like, this is going to be fancy. This is my ticket.
I did that with Beanie Babies, by the way.
You were
so
in the
sad.
Beanie. My mom did Beanie Babies. She had to by mother law.
There's a storage unit in Kansas filled with Beanie Babies that are worthless.
The Beanie
Baby? I'm not sure that's the only one. I'm certain that there are several of them that are like, when the world finally makes its turn towards the age of Aquarius, Beanie Babies will be the new money.
It's possible. It's possible. Well, let's stick in the world of sports.
Well, no, because that came up to, there were other stories. I looked it up, one link to it. It was that other stories of people with embarrassing sports cards. And the one that came up was a man named Bill Ripken, who had a photo taken for, I forget what season this was, I believe in January 1989. He had a great year that year, I guess. And they took a picture for his baseball card, but they didn't realize that underneath the card, I guess it's the knob of the baseball bat.
Yeah.
What do you call the bottom of it? Yeah, the knob. It says knob. He had written on it, fuckface.
Fuckface.
And it got published, which is pretty great.
Yep.
It's pretty good. They tried to. What ensued was absolute chaos because they found out because the error's card price and ended up raising to nearly $500, which is pretty great. But for nearly 20 years, Bill Ripken hasn't told the whole story until finally he revealed with this story of this bullshit with the Menendez brothers story. He actually revealed the true story of it, where he said, "I got a dozen bats in front of my locker during the 1988 season. I pulled the bats out, model R161, and noticed because of the grain patterns that they were too heavy. But I decided I'd use one of them at the very least for my batting practice bat. Now, I had to write something on the bat. At Memorial Stadium, the bat room was not too close to the clubhouse, so I wanted to write something that I could find immediately if I looked up and it was 4:44 and I had to get out there on the field a minute later and not be late. There were five big grocery carts full of bats in there, and if I wrote my number three, it could be too confusing, so I wrote fuckface on it."
I love it. But the thing is, he lied about this for years, and he said it was a prank against him because he's kind of a jackass in the clubhouse.
Yes.
Oh, what a guy.
Oh, I love baseball players, man. I always remember how horrible Joba Chamberlain was when he used to go into quote-unquote guest bartend at Eddie's bar in the village, which is he was never officially asked to bartend.
No,
but he definitely would go back there and definitely was a huge asshole.
Well, Joba was not that bad. He was nice before. He didn't want people to think he was drinking. So all he did was get Long Island iced teas, which is more than
iced tea. Yeah, because
no one believed it was iced tea.
You reek of liquor.
Yes. And Eddie used to go, and he would actually call, Joba used to call Eddie from
the clubhouse.
The clubhouse in the pen before he would go on the field and be like, yo, have the sliders ready for me and make sure you got more tea, like all this. And they would be like, okay.
I know for a fact,
I would party with him until like 4 o'clock in the morning, and they would have like a noon game. He had to be hammered. He had to be hammered while pitching.
But that's how baseball players used to be all the time.
Yeah, I mean, this was 2012, but yes. Whatever. Yes.
He's keeping history alive. He's keeping the heart of the game alive. You remember that movie, For the Love of the Game?
Of course. All right, well, let's go on.
I ended up being in the middle of I feel like a lot of the country is. I didn't really realize how big the story was until I saw the episode of 2020 about Chris Watt and the murder of his family. And I'll tell you what, like, we won't cover it in depth because you should listen. You go watch it, ABC 2020. It's pretty sweet.
Oh, yes.
But a part of it is just being like, man, it's scary, the idea of just meeting somebody on Facebook. Because number one, Facebook is just a barren land now. I don't know what the fuck Facebook is now. God knows. But a part of it is... if you meet somebody on Facebook, you don't know who you're meeting. Even if you even marry them and have children with them 2 years later, and they fucking wipe you out just because he starts having sex with his coworker.
Anyway, for those that maybe haven't heard about this story, this is national. This is one that Henry and I were talking before. We would have, like, both of our mothers would have been glued to 2020 and Dateline and 60 Minutes. This is a story that goes across the country. Chris Watts, he has been found guilty and received a life sentence without the possibility of parole. He killed his pregnant wife, Shannon, both of his daughters, Bella and Celeste, and then they had an unborn son they were going to name Nico. No one really knows why the hell he did it. According to Shannon's parents, he was like a chill dude, and they said that he never like yelled or got upset. Nothing but nice.
He was freaked out about the new pregnant woman, and then he started hitting on a chick at work, and they started having a very intense love affair. My thing is, I was trying to figure out how he murdered them, and I actually haven't seen that yet. This is a fun Google search. How did Chris Watts murder his family? This is my whole life. This is a little, if you want to just see what it's like to just be on Last Podcast and Left, it's just this. You just say this. You just say, how did it happen? And then someone tells you horrible shit. Oh, he tried to blame it on the wife. He tried to say he killed the wife because she saw her strangling the kids.
Well, he had a whole series of lies. And, of course, this dude, after they were murdered, he texted with his girlfriend about their future. Behind closed doors, the officers say he giggled when he told police he had nothing to do with their disappearance. He did that whole thing where he went in front of the cameras and he had the crocodile tears, like in Wayne's World, where he's like, I'm not mad. I'm not mad. And then it's like the Oscar speech that he gives as he splashes water onto his face.
I'm just going to tell you this. This is for all you people out there. When you're talking to a guy alone at a bar and he drops the line when he says, because that's how he met this woman, right? He said him and his wife are currently separated and they're on their way to getting divorced. And this is how you can tell if this is not true. Look at the ring finger. If the dent is still there. Right? Because now I'm starting to get the dad dent. I'm starting to get the married man dent. And
sure.
It stays. Right? So if you still see the dent, that ring has come off within hours or even days. All right? It is fake. Look for the rut. Because that's how you know.
Look for the rut. Words of wisdom. The girlfriend's name is Nicole Kessinger. Now, she's a 30-year-old. She was a coworker at Anadarko. She told the Denver Post they had just met, and she says, I barely knew him. So this dude, this is classic with guys who are, like, in relationships for a long time. They just assume that, like, other women want to have sex with them. And then they're just like, it'll be just so easy. Just like this relationship, she's just going to love me and we'll just be like right in. Like we're already in a 3-year relationship because they just want to replace their wife. And they don't even think about the other person being like, who are you? Like the movie Overboard.
Exactly. Because it's all about them, right? It's all about this guy living some fantasy life that he thinks that his marriage is like, he's sick of his marriage, even though he's fully in on it. He's fully on it. But his wife, Shanann Watts, was like a full-on Facebook, social media, 24/7. Their relationship was constantly on display.
Ooh.
So a part of it was you can kind of see he thinks he's living this fake life with the woman who essentially is broadcasting every moment of their day, but she's wildly happy. She's just happy and just one of those people that does that. She is a mid-30s person who got obsessed with Facebook and the potential to reach people, and then she became working for a PR company that did these vitamin patches, so she also used it for work, and it was about her presenting herself in a certain way, and he obviously maybe even got disillusioned with it, and instead of like doing what a normal human does, which is speak to your partner,
right,
or figure it out and do the work, you live this kind of sick, gross double life where you're supposed to be pretending. You're pretending to have some illicit affair with somebody else, or a genuine relationship, which is all predicated on a lie.
Well, Shanann,
and none of it's true. None of that passion is real.
Shanann did tell her friend that the relationship seemed to be a little bit slow going at the time. This was on August 7th. She texted a buddy, and she said, he has changed. I don't know who he is. He hasn't touched me all week or kissed me. So she was feeling a lack of intimacy.
But it seemed to happen
fast. Of course, that does not mean that you're going
to
kill your fucking family just because you go through a week of maybe lacking intimacy or something. So it's still, this story is absolutely crazy. It's perfect fodder for sensational news outlets.
Well, it's brutal because he sent this in this letter dated July 3rd, which is a month before all of this shit went down, to his mistress. He sent one of these dumbass cards that are very Hallmarky, which says, Nikki, a year of stuff you love to do, a brand new dreams to make come true, one that brings you smiles and laughter and fills your heart with love long after. And he sent that to his mistress? But no, that was like in the card, but his personal message is, the sun's up you, big things will happen this year, dreams will come true, that smile, that stare, that laugh, that giggle gets me every time. You are truly amazing, inspirational, and electric woman that takes my breath away every time I see you. You are wonderful. Don't ever stop being you. 3!
Oh,
happy
my God,
birthday! It says it in all caps.
Laying
Chris.
It on a little bit thick.
Yeah.
That is such a dad hit. Like, that is such a dad hitting on someone for the first time in, like, 5 years. It's bro, tap the brakes just a little bit here.
Here's another letter. Wow, where do I even start? The first day I saw you, you took my breath away.
Oh, my
God.
The
first day I had the guts to talk to you, I got lost in those stunning green eyes. The first day we hung out in the park together, I knew I was addicted. The first time we kissed, I knew I had met the most amazing, unique, and electric woman
ever.
We have a lot of firsts together, Nikki, and I'm going to keep having them with you all night till the sun's come back. I want to love, want to love, want to love you like that. Love, Chris.
This guy is so corny.
Wow, you keep my engine roaring when you're pushing the pedal. I can't resist the feel. I can't resist the feel.
Oh my God,
put me
dude.
On another level. This guy, man.
Laying it on thick. I think many women would be like, we just went out for a lunch date. Like,
maybe
I don't
she would have just. I mean, honestly, you just shown these letters to your wife, and she would have just blown her brains out.
Yeah,
honestly, this is so. It's just a thing. I feel it's really important because a part of it is that it's being honest while you're in a relationship, and this kind of this concept that you can go sneak around. There is nothing more pathetic than a married man trying to sneak around on the side.
No, and it's
really
honestly
very sad.
Not that it's a bad thing, but with technology the way it is now, good luck. Good luck, my friend.
Yeah.
My goodness. So obviously this guy had some grandiose ideas of the love that he was going to have in the future with this 30-year-old coworker, Nikki. No one is really happy, obviously, in Shanann's family. That's an understatement. But this is according to Shanann's brother, Frankie. This is what he told Watts at sentencing. He says, I pray that you never have a moment's peace or a good night's rest in the cage you'll spend every day for your life in. He went on to say, and one other thing, Shanann says she is super excited for justice today. which I don't know if she actually did, but it's good for the family. It's good.
It is very good, but it's very, I mean, it's a fucked up story. And we'll obviously, I'll be following it too. It's just something I was looking into. It was just like absolutely fucking horrifying.
All right. Well, moving on a little bit here. Let's go to Amazon headquarters. Of course, they treat their employees horrible. Jeff Bezos is really pushing to be supervillain of the year, which I think needs to be the new title. I don't want to know the person of the year, which is evidently the Golden State Warriors. Kind of aggravates me. That's 13 people, including the
coach.
That's
13 people.
That's a lot of people for one person.
That's a lot of people. And I would also include the administration. I'd include the janitors at the station.
Sure.
At the stadium. There's a lot of stuff going on there if you just name a basketball team.
Absolutely.
It's like me just saying, you know who's like my person of the year?
Who?
The Keebler Elves. And it's just, because the problem is that you don't know how many there are.
No,
there
you
are
don't.
There are three representatives.
Right.
There's three representatives. You got Stinky, you got Grabby, and you got Smiley, right? Is that their names?
I don't think Stinky is one of the Keebler Elves.
It could be. Could be.
Is
sure.
it Grabby? It's a Grabby and Smiley are two of them. And the other ones, I think his name is Richard.
Could be. Yeah.
Grippy.
Grimpy.
It's Grippy, Grabby, and Smiley.
Sounds problematic.
But yes,
but all right.
It is. Being a chef is a very difficult job.
It is.
We don't know how many employees they had. That's
no,
what I'm saying.
We don't. So anyway, well, speaking of employees and employees in a high number, 24 Amazon warehouse employees in New Jersey were hospitalized Wednesday when one is in critical condition, might die because a stupid robot punctured a can of bear repellent. The news was soon picked up by the national outlets, and this story spread across social media. In total, 54 workers at the Robbinsville, New Jersey facility were exposed to fumes. Bear repellent is made with a bunch of like chili pepper extract and a whole bunch of stuff that obviously is made to repel bears, so you can imagine what it does to people. The workers experienced trouble breathing, and they had sore throats, and their eyes burned. And evidently, this isn't even the first time a robot has attempted to kill all of the employees at an Amazon warehouse. This isn't the first bear repellent issue. What is going on with the robot kill machines? We had the Uber driver. We had the Uber car. That killed somebody. There's a series of robot murders that are not being talked about nearly enough, because the government wants to keep you quiet. In Germany in 2015, at a Volkswagen factory, someone was crushed to death by a stationary robot.
These are not robot murders, okay? I'm going to say this honestly.
They're robot murders.
No, robot murders is if a robot shows up at your house and says, I want your wife, and then fucking murders you. That's a robot murder.
This is how it starts.
Factory mistake.
This is how it starts. This is it. Okay, also, let's not forget the Dallas Police Department. Remember that one dude? What was his name? I think Michael something. He went crazy. He started shooting all those cops over in Dallas. Absolutely horrible. They used a robot. They exploded the robot right in front, like it was straight out of Call of Duty Black Ops. They exploded the robot right in front of him, killing him. And then, of course, as I said, with the Uber, the automated Uber car. And also, one guy in 2016, an Ohio man, died when driving the self-driving Tesla. He crashed into a tractor trailer while he watched Harry Potter.
That's his fault. That's his fault.
That's the robot.
He needs to be watching the road. He needs to be watching the road, too. We're learning with the robots. Amazon has horrible,
horrible
ways of treating their employees, but I will say it's just like, man, I got a shower head, I got my Gold Bond powder, and I got all of my soundproofing equipment in a day. You know what I mean? So I understand that, I mean, people are getting killed to bring me these things, but would I not ask soldiers to sacrifice for the freedom of this country? I mean, honestly, what the soldiers do? And if we start treating them like soldiers or calling them soldiers at Amazon, then it's just bravery to work there.
Okay. Well, honestly, if they got good health insurance, which, you know, the soldiers probably need better health insurance, but
yes,
I think
they
if they
do.
Were if they
well,
were
they need
treated
mental
better.
Health insurance, that's for definite. They need more mental that kind of shit, because technically at least they get all the robot shit. They're starting to sell exoskeletons, which is a newspaper
I saw
story
that
I'm starting to read.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so the other incident happened in 2015 regarding bear repellents at an Amazon warehouse, and that was the fire department responded to the accident at the Amazon facility in Haslett, Texas, that was caused by a robot running over a can of bear repellent, purposely running over a can of bear repellent.
Purposefully running over the can of bear repellent.
Robotic,
I don't think it knows what it is.
It's biological warfare. And the robots know it. They can survive in a biological war. That's how they get us. We can shoot them, maybe explode them, but biological warfare, that's why they're going to be here forever.
Oh, honestly, man. I'm just glad that we are hiring these robots because we have to, because if not, we can't have them unemployed, because can imagine how dangerous robot school shooters would be.
Well, that's
honestly,
a good point.
That would be dangerous.
Good point.
We want to do a little bit of a debunking. Obviously, well, one quick thing I will say about the Amazon story as well is it is a shame how they sort of try to scrub these stories.
It is,
these stories got pushed down very, very,
it is
very
so,
quickly.
It was so hard to find this story. I saw it one time, and then I Googled robot death, Amazon warehouse. Nothing came up. Yep. It is like crazy how good they are at hiding this stuff.
And they're about to be your neighbors.
I know, over in Long Island City, going to put a lot of people out of business.
And just like judging from the amount of like HGH and steroids that Jeff Bezos is on.
Oh yeah.
I think he knows that his employees will eventually try to rise up and beat the shit out of him and eat him.
And so yes. What he knows is he has to be stronger than the robots as well.
Cuz he's clearly
the size
on,
of Tom Cruise.
He's clearly on steroids.
He is 4'10".
I mean, he's living the dream.
Well,
that is the dream. The idea is that I could become a bigger person. I could start just injecting myself with HGH. Wait till, if I become a millionaire, I'm fucking cue ball bald. I'm going to fucking just draw. I'm going to fucking grow the beard out. I'm going to get fucking jacked. I'm going to look like a fucking cyber Viking.
You've been fantasizing about this look for a while.
Just a lot of work.
It's a lot of
work. To go into it.
That's the problem.
That's what's really difficult. I want to quickly debunk a story that came out. The story of a Texas man saying he kidnapped and sexually assaulted 79 people. People while dressed as an alien is false.
Yes.
It came out saying that he drugged people with a mixture of LSD and PCP, and he came out in an alien costume and stuck his fingers up their butt in order to say that you're probing. While it is a wonderful idea, I guess.
It's a horrible idea.
It's a horrible idea.
Yes.
But it's in its horribleness, it is wonderful.
Yes.
But it was originally broke by a news report called World News Daily Report.
Right.
And is a well-known producer of junk news whose website features the following disclaimer saying that it is satirical.
Yes.
The identity of the elderly man shown in the mugshot was not immediately clear, but it did seem that the same mugshot appeared in a blog post, which was for Mugshot Monday, and it's just a sad... It's just a guy who was an 80-year-old man that was arrested for sexual battery, and it's just a website making fun of people's mugshots.
Right. And, of course, this is another situation. We got a lot of emails and DMs about this story, so we hate to be the bearer of bad news. In this case,
because
good news, because 79 people weren't probed.
I am not going to be fucking hoodwinked by a British boy band again. All right? I am not dealing with it. I will not let it stand. I will not negotiate with fucking terrorists.
Well, all right. I do want to say this is another case where you look at the mugshot, and I think they just come up with the story around the mugshot. And this guy does kind of look like a gray. It kind of looks like an alien, so.
It's a great writing prompt.
Yeah.
His picture is great. And we want to do a little bit of a story from a fan. Actually, it doesn't really stay here. It doesn't say here if he wants his name said or not. But in response to Kissel's revelation that he's been using Smooth Moves T for some reason.
I used it once. I was looking for a smooth move.
Now, this comes from, I'm just going to say the initials EM, just in case he's trying to run for office or something. and so this is what he said. He had a very foul experience with Smooth Moves Tea. Senior year of high school, I was sick, and I found a bunch of herbal tea. I didn't read the label very carefully and shared some with my friend Judson, who was sleeping over. We both had 4 to 5 cups of the stuff. Mistake.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Holy shit. Honestly, 4 to 5 cups of tea? What are you, the queen?
I know what's going on, buddy.
Cut to 4:30 a.m. I wake up, and I have to shit worse than I ever have in my life. I go to the bathroom, but the door is locked. Apparently, Judson literally woke up 5 minutes before me, also having to shit. I start pounding on the door, yelling at him to hurry up because I'm going to shit myself. He yells at me. We go yell back and forth. I freak out at this point, and I have to shit in the kitchen sink until he finishes up.
Oh, my.
Judson, you see, was on the track team, and that morning he had to run 10 miles on the Chicago Lakefront. I was pulling out of my garage to take him to the train, but I had to stop, pull back in, and take another shit before I could drive him anywhere. Once I got back home, my sister came down the stairs and confronted me, saying, hey, that fuck drank all my laxative tea. We started cracking up, but in the same moment, we stopped, looked at each other in the eyes, and said, Judson, tea? We started, said, Judson. Judson later told us what happened to him, and he got it way worse than me. There he was at the start of his 10-mile run and pretty much immediately had to run a mile in the opposite direction to go to a porta potty.
Uh-oh.
And later on, he said he had to stop and shit in a bush that was super conspicuous, and he had so many issues that he couldn't finish the race, and he had to wait in the coach's car, literally covered in shit. So be careful with that shit.
Oh, be
honestly,
very
careful with that shit.
It's never good when you have to wait in the coach's car. That's it's never for a good reason. You're either in
you know
trouble
what it is
or
that,
you had too much laxative tea.
Because nothing would fucking make me more rage-filled than being like, all right, Judson, you can sit in my Audi, but under one fucking condition. You don't touch that interior. I'm gonna put a fucking towel down. I would never let a 15 or 16 year old sit in my new car
covered in Duke.
Ever. Covered you don't know he's covered in Duke.
Well, I think
there
must have been some indications. I'm pretty just judging from my laxative tea experience. It doesn't. It's not. You know. It's not a clean situation. I'm not going into detail here, but I'm sure that they knew what was going on. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for submitting that story. E-M. Oh, I almost. All right. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening. You can always DM me at BenKissel1 on Instagram, and you can always email sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. We do read those, and thank you all so much for submitting your stories. I didn't get to the one I wanted to do today as well about the dart fart gate. Fartgate in the world of darts. It's a pretty funny story if you search that. But all right.
We'll cover it.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
If you ever have a story you want to tell us or a reaction to one of our podcasts, and if it's funny, we'll read it out loud. Please email it to sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com. We love your submissions. We've been using them. It's great for us because we can find out what you guys want to hear about. And also, like, again, it's a really good way for you to yell at us.
Yeah.
And because we're reading these things. But be kind.
Don't mention the Jonas Brothers ever again.
Ever
or the
again.
Band Bosom. I don't know. What was the name of the British band?
But I think it's Barkirk.
Something like that. Yeah.
No, it's a Burston. Something. They just look like
busted.
They don't look like a bunch of pedophiles. They look like a bunch of adults that dress like children trying to hang out with children.
Well, that makes sense. But maybe that's the point of their name. Busted as in arrested for pedophilia.
Oh, I thought busted also means when you come.
I don't know.
But please email us. We got our special coming out soon.
Yes.
Very excited to present to your loins.
Cannot wait. Please, if you have $6.66, go out there, buy the special. It's the first time we're doing it. We're really excited about it. So please get out there and hopefully you enjoy it.
And hail Satan.
All right, everyone. Hail yourselves.
Hail me. And when you live, you got a long, long girl. You got a nail. And if you ain't laughing like this, ha ha. You ain't laughing because that's got to be the ha ha. Like, I like people who don't fully laugh when they do the ha ha. Like, you're just super chill. You're too chill for the full emotional commitment of laughing.
It kind of switches the laughter into I'm not actually, I don't think that's funny. I'm actually just sort of like, why are you talking to me?
Ha ha. Huh. Yeah, yeah. When you do the thing when you respond in a text where you go ha ha, and when I know you're not laughing,
I know you're
just trying to cover up. You do good. You're fine. I do. I have laughed when I have said
the one I don't like is I don't like lull. I don't like raffle because you are not rolling on the floor. I know
you're not because it would be
so remarkable. I would be concerned for you if you were.
You are having
understand.
A seizure if yeah, you're rolling on the floor. Also, you know what I don't like? Just one ha.
Yeah, it's demeaning.
That is passive aggressive.
It is. All right, everyone. We will talk to you soon.
Bye.